Hey, Bulldogs fans, it's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
To the AC All Access Show here on a Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock. We're back at Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. Ian Wentz, that's me. I'll be taking you through the show today. An hour of fun. We're going to talk some sports I know a lot about and some that I don't. Actually, I don't know more than I know this hour. So it's a learning experience again. We're talking equestrian, lacrosse, and lacrosse. Yeah, men's and women's, we'll talk about them and equestrian, and then sort of an all-sports roundup with the sports information director, Mike. But we're going to start things off. It's a return visit for senior equestrian from Grand Blanc, Michigan, Madison Austin. She is the team captain. Thanks for taking the time. I know you've got a lot of stuff to do, and it's busy time for riding, but thanks for coming back.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Well, good. And there's a reason you're here. You're very good at riding horses. Can you explain to people what it means to be an equestrian at the college level?
At the collegiate level, I say that it's highly competitive and also just very exciting. So along with any sport, it's really exciting to compete with in college and like against all the other teams. I take pride in it, competing for the school. So there's that aspect as well. I've been riding my whole life, so being able to kind of fuse all the skills that I've grown up riding and take it to this level has been really exciting for me.
I don't think there are a lot of high school teams for riding. How did you get to this level? Was it just on your own, or do you go through a club, or how does that go?
It's kind of on my own. This sport is very individualized. Obviously, horse and rider pairs compete and get a placing as an individual, not as like a full team always. So growing up, just kind of getting my stats and my records, like placing well at high level competitions, at nationals and at regionals, I send those out to coaches that then I can be recruited to compete in college.
Okay, so it's all on your own.
Yes.
I assume you did some 4-H growing up too?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Well, you've been doing this for 4 years at the school. A lot of success in the ring.
Yep.
For you and the rest of the team. Could you talk about this season? I think the last time you were on, the season was just getting underway, so a lot's happened between now and then.
Yep, so we've had a really great season. We actually just ended the regular season last weekend, which just means that we're now moving into the postseason for regionals, semis, and nationals. We just ended the season with having 9 riders competing between September to now February, and we were the reserve champion team in Michigan, which is super exciting because we were pretty small this year, but we like to say we're small but mighty, right?
Right, yeah.
So we were just a few points behind Albion College, which is really exciting. We are now going to be moving into the regional phases where this will be take place next weekend and then March 2nd. And there's a regional horse show for the Hunt Seat team and the Western team. We have 2 riders competing at Hunt Seat Regionals, and then 4 riders competing at Western Regionals.
Okay, what's the difference? Here's the obvious question. What's the difference between those two?
So the Hunt Seat is going to be like the jumping style, the jumping and the flat work.
The horse does the jumping?
Yes.
Okay.
With the riders
not
on
you.
Top. But yeah.
All right.
And then the Western style is going to be like the horsemanship. It's where you see it maybe like on TV shows and things.
Oh, where they like walk super slow,
like Western riding,
slowly pick up their feet.
Yeah,
they go backwards,
like cowboy hats and stuff.
Okay, cool.
And then there's also reining, which is just another discipline and style within that area.
All right, so regular season sounds like it went well.
Yes.
Adrian doesn't have the facility. You know, you're not driving around campus looking for horses.
Yeah.
Where do you barn your horses during the season?
So our coaches, Jody and Troy Prime, they have a facility out in Blissfield. About 15 minutes away from campus. They have run their own horse training business out of there in the past. So then we just have our team horses there. They give us lessons all throughout the week, and that's where we ride.
Okay, so that's where the practice is.
Yep.
Talking with Madison Austin with the equestrian team at Adrian College. Equestrian a co-ed sport, or is it just a female sport? What's the makeup?
So just last year, we became co-ed. We have one boy on the team.
Okay.
Before that, it had always been a female sport at Adrian. But, like, universally, it can be co-ed, yes.
Okay. So there's no separation?
No separation. It's co-ed. But specifically at Adrian, we just made the difference recently. So, yeah.
Very interesting. All right. My note sheet here says that you qualified for regionals in open horsemanship and open reining. What's the horsemanship?
So the horsemanship, we will go out and do a set of maneuvers, and we are judged on how fluid those maneuvers are, how well we perform those maneuvers on a horse we don't know, because we're riding a horse we don't know.
Okay.
And then how our position is. So we have to be really, like, a soft rider. We have to be very still when we ride. We don't want to be, like, flopping around or bouncing the reins. So it's all about, like, the overall picture and basically being like a textbook rider, like riding to a textbook.
Are the commands universal for the horses?
Yes and no.
Or do you talk to the horse before and say, what do you know? How do I do this? That just seems like there's so many variations, or maybe there aren't. I don't know.
There is. There's a ton of variations, and that's what kind of what we learn to master. So being a fourth-year collegiate athlete now, I kind of learned to know, like, these tools in my toolbox that I can use. But also before we compete, we will get a list of horses, and it will say, like, Willie, say, like, use your right rein to turn right, or set up for your leads.
It'll so give you have us notes on the horses.
Yeah, like two sentences worth of notes, yes.
And they just have to get on and, like, okay.
Hope it works.
Yeah, yeah. Hope it works. Okay, Willie was not just a name taken from the sky.
Yeah.
Willie's an actual horse, new to the team.
Yes.
How many horses does Adrian College have?
So Adrian College just got the donation horse, Willie. So now Adrian College owns their first horse. From there, as the team, we have about 10 horses right now that we use for practices. And those horses will come in from, like, lease opportunities. They're old retired horses that, like, alumni let us use.
Okay.
Honestly, every horse has a different story of where
we
get them. Yeah.
So that's something I didn't know from last time, is the school doesn't, until now, have any investment in a horse. So the horses you practice with are from your coach's farm.
Yes.
And you ride different horses at different events.
Yes. So when we go to horse shows, we'll bring in these horses for the team each year. Like, some horses come from Ohio. One of our horses right now is actually an alumni of MSU. Just randomly, she's letting us use her horse, right? And then when we go to horse shows, we'll take about 6 horses, and they will go into, like, the pool for the whole horse show of about 30. And then when we ride, we'll draw our horse. And if we bring horses, it's more likely of a chance of drawing an Adrian horse versus an Albion horse. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of benefits us to take our own horses to horse shows.
So with Willie, officially part of the team, what responsibilities do you and the team have as riders when you're not competing? Are you there every day cleaning stalls and doing all those things that no one wants to talk about?
Yeah, so right now, to be on the team, you're required to be out there practicing twice a week, and your time slot is about 3 hours long, and so you will be assigned a horse to ride, and it's pretty much goes to say, like, Willie, but all the horses, like, whatever horse you're riding, you have to take care of them. We clean their stalls, we make sure that they're healthy, like, we help do chores and things like that during your lesson slot. So typically when you first get there, you'll feed, clean a stall, and then you'll ride for your practice hour for an hour, hour and a half. And then when you get off, you'll put your horse away, clean up, and you're done.
Learning a lot still about equestrian with Madison Austin with the Adrian College equestrian team. So you will be participating in the regionals with open horsemanship, open reining, and open flat. You told me about reining. I need to now learn about flat. It seems like there's, like, 15 different things you can do.
There is, and it all, like, I kind of like to do it all, so I put myself out there to do it all, but there are just so many divisions that the riders can learn how to, like, do, right? So it's all very different. The open flat is going to go into the jumping style of seat. So in the flat class, I'm not actually jumping. It's just with that hunter style of, like, that saddle and that outfit and those types of horses. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's the same thing as the horsemanship, where I will be based upon maneuvers, how my body position is and, like, how elegant I can look and make those horses do things.
Are there judges, like, with cards where they flip up, you know, 9.2, 8.7, like with a diving team?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, that'd be fair.
But, yeah.
How do they get scored? What are you...
So, depending upon the class. So, the flat class is scored pretty much just, like, opinion-based. The judge will place you first through sixth, and that's based on opinion. There isn't necessarily a score sheet. But when you go into the reining and some of the pattern classes, like the horsemanship, you will perform a pattern, and you'll get, like, a plus two or a zero or a minus one. So, you can plus and minus points for the maneuver, and then you'll get a score, and it's a baseline of a 70. So if you're a 72, that means you plus some maneuvers. If you're a 65, you minus some maneuvers. And then whoever's the highest will win the class.
All right, moving right along. Says you have competed with four, multiple regional qualifiers. I'm going to equate this to swimming at the high school level or maybe cross country where at these certain events you need to get this score to qualify. Whether you do it, you know, in November or you do it in January, if you hit that number, you qualify. Is that the same with equestrian?
It is. So throughout the season, you have to earn 36 points to qualify for regionals. And then once you qualify for regionals, you move up a division.
Help me with that. Up a division.
Yes. So through the collegiate, what we ride, we show with the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, IHSA. And they have classes starting at beginner, so beginner level, going into the rookie classes, a level one, level two, and open. So open is the highest level you can compete. And so starting off as a beginner, say you complete all season, earn 36 points, you're considered a good enough rider to go into the next level. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then at the regional, you compete at that level.
Yep. You'll compete where you started, like at the beginner.
Oh.
Per se. Yep.
Okay. Regionals taking place, like you said, at the end of February and into March. And that location, again, is going to be?
Midland County Fairgrounds.
Okay. So a realistic drive up north a little bit if you really wanted to go?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the semifinals, late March, and hopefully some nationals in May.
Yes.
Do you have experience in those levels of competition?
Yes. So I have been on the team 4 years now. And last year... Well, I guess I should preface. My sophomore year, we had two individual riders go to nationals. It was myself and now graduate Lori Gerbach. We both showed for the team at nationals my sophomore year. And then last year, the whole team competed at nationals. So that was really exciting. We were competed as a team, were 11th. And then this year, I have already qualified for nationals, so I have a ticket to go.
So you can go as an individual?
Yes.
And the team can go?
Yes.
What does the team need to do to qualify?
The team needs to first win the region. So last year we won the region, like the regional championship.
Okay.
And then that sends you to semifinals, and at semifinals you have to be top four. Sent
okay.
to nationals.
And just the average of all your riders and all that they do.
Yep, all the points will kind of come together and total out, and whoever has the highest will then be placed.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a good one to talk about this sport with. I feel like, again, I'm learning more and more than even last time you were on. You know, this says that the team is qualifying for their three straight regional. It does say here you've qualified for nationals in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ask you how many riders are on the team?
I don't think you did today, but we have nine right now.
Okay, you have nine.
Yep.
What's the makeup? Are you more of a senior, junior, senior, or... A good mix.
We're kind of a new team this year. We have a lot of freshmen. Last year, we had eight graduating seniors.
Whoa.
So we're a pretty new group of girls this year, girls and guys.
Yeah, right.
I'd say. About that.
Well, when you graduate so many and then, you know, in 3 or 4 years, you'll have to bring that many people in again. My goodness. Okay, so tell us, I think maybe people out there listening want to learn more about the college's first horse.
Yeah.
Willie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask a third grade question. What color is Willie?
He's brown. He's
okay.
A chestnut. Yeah.
All right. So just brown. No, like, anything around his hooves or any?
He does have a lot of white markings. He has, I think, 3 or 4 white markings on his legs, and then his face is mostly white.
Okay.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking off air. He is how tall?
About 16'2" hands.
Okay. I'll let everyone look that up and figure out what that measurement is. That's how you measure horses.
He's pretty big, but.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Learned a lot again. Quickly, what are the dates again for your regional?
Mm-hmm.
What dates are those?
So Hunt Seat Regionals is February 24th, and then Stock Western Regionals are March 2nd.
All right. Once again, Madison Austin with the equestrian team at Adrian, a senior from Grand Blanc, Michigan, the team captain. Wow. I need to take a break, kind of decompress. There will be a pop quiz at the end of the show, so be tuned in for that. Madison, thank you again, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And once again, you are listening to the ACL Access Show, live from Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. They are hiring. I think they're really trying to hire some cooks. So if you want to switch up a career or maybe pick up some part-time work, stop on by at the restaurant, grab an application, and get to work today. Also, they have weekday specials. Today's Thursday. It is the Chicken Chunks special. Drinks and food specials for lunch. Weekdays open until 2 o'clock. So stop by for those here at Frickers and Adrian. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk lacrosse for the next half hour or so. We're going to start with the women and then the men after. So tune in for that as their season is getting underway. This is the ACL Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's wrestling. They're all showing off their skills this weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
To the ACL Access Show. I'm Ian Wendt. Next to me, but with no microphone, she's just learning today, Stacy Mitchell, the athletic director at Adrian College. Just got up from his seat, but Craig Rainey is here. Sports Information Director Mike Prang setting up these interviews and giving me all sorts of information to talk about. And back in our studios, the one, the only, John Kane. We are going to get things started with our lacrosse conversation. I'm joined by the first-year head coach, Amanda Asher. She is starting her time here at Adrian as coach. Thanks for jumping on the mic with me today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, you started your playing career at Adrian. You played lacrosse before transferring to Central, and you played some club lacrosse. So you know the ins and outs of the college game. Could you talk about your time in school playing the sport?
Yeah, I just love the game. I'm very passionate about it. It's a fast-paced game, which I like. In high school, I played basketball and lacrosse, and there's a lot of crossover and key concepts that are the same. Again, the fast-paced nature of the game. Played in college, like you said, transferred to Central. I was a two-year captain there on the club team and first-team all-conference for my defensive play, and I love the game.
Well, the next bullet point kind of says it all. You've been coaching for 10 years. It's a long time, I will admit. But you started as an assistant over at a school I'm not going to mention, but you were most recently at Concordia Ann Arbor. So familiar with the area because Concordia plays Siena Heights here in Adrian. So you're used to that type of thing. You were an assistant at Albion College. So kind of a time to really take the reins. Were you head coach at Concordia?
Yes, I was. Assistant?
Okay.
For 5 years.
Well, it doesn't say that here. Prang. But, you know, a chance to take over a program that is kind of near and dear to you. What's that like to, you know, the interview process, obviously, and then getting hired in?
Well, I have a lot of love for Adrian, and just the sense to be able to come back was something that I would be honored to do, and I am honored. I'm glad to be here. Just, I feel that the school has so much to offer, to not just, you know, on the athletic side, but on the academic side. And when you believe in something somewhere, it's not, you're not selling the school. It's something that's on your heart that you want to bring people here. So I think a lot of my recruits and my team knows my passion for this place, and it's just the place to be.
So you were hired on early enough to get a recruiting class for the spring?
Yes, I started a little bit later, so I was a little behind in the game, but I got after that right away. So since I was a head coach for before, I knew the areas I wanted to target where I wanted to get kids to come through. I have, I'd say, like my hotbeds of lacrosse, because it's not that popular yet in the Midwest, so not every high school has it. So I hit my areas pretty hard, and we were able to find success.
Do you go, I'm assuming it's mostly East Coast?
Yes, that's where it's prominent. Yes,
yeah,
it's that.
Kind of like hockey. But correct. Adrian, now hotbed for hockey.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And having coached in the area, right, Albion, Ann Arbor, not too far away, you can kind of get the landscape here locally if there are. There are some programs in the area, you know, Metro Detroit, even Lenawee County a little bit, you know. Any focus there right now?
Yeah, a lot of focus. That is the areas that I'm most familiar with, that is probably where we're pulling from the most, especially Metro Detroit. And I used to have a club team. I owned a club team, so I'm very familiar with the club circuit of lacrosse. So it was nice, like, just being familiar with the area.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed in talking with coaches is, yeah, you need to be able to coach, obviously. You're doing it at the collegiate level. You know what you're doing. But it's the relationships you've been able to form over your time in getting kids to come to Adrian College. Because when it boils down to it, really, Division III athletics, the student athletes are paying to go to school and play the sport. And in some other places, they get some scholarship opportunities. So you really need to know what kind of student athlete you're going for. Your team here in a rebuilding pattern. So what kind of ladies are you looking to get on the team?
Players that love lacrosse. When you love lacrosse, it's not a job. You're showing up every day because you want to and you want to put in that work and you have that vision. I believe that we will win a championship in a few years. I know I've done it before. I want to do it again. We have to put in that work, but you have to get those players that have that same vision and just love of the game.
Talking with Amanda Asher, the head coach of the women's lacrosse team here at Adrian College. You got your first chance to really coach the girls last night. Doesn't have the result, but you scrimmaged our friends on the east side of town at Siena Heights. That's a more, I don't want to say established program, but they've had a little more stability. Then, obviously, you coming in with your first year. What were your impressions of last night?
I thought, we battled back. We did come out flat. We were at a 7-1 deficit, and then we got it within one. That's not easy to do. So the girls responded well. We fought back. And like you said, we didn't get the result we wanted, but we were right there. So luckily it was a scrimmage, and it showed us things we need to work on and things that we can polish up. And it was a good opportunity for us before we get to our first game.
Was that at home or was that at Siena?
At Siena.
Okay, so a mini road trip, right? You're in a different venue. You're on a different field.
Yes.
You're not scrimmaging against your own girls. So that can be a benefit for your team.
It's huge. We were in the preseason grind where we're just facing off against each other every day. So it was nice to see new competition that wasn't us.
Yeah, just like with football, I can't wait to hit somebody else,
yes.
you know, instead of the same my teammate, you know, for 3 or 4 months. One more before I really learn more about the sport of lacrosse. I've watched it, you know, somewhat on TV, so I have an idea. But we're going to get to the details in a second. Your home opener is coming up Wednesday, 7 o'clock start at Docking Family Stadium against the Polar Bears of Ohio Northern. I mean, that's a date you circle, right? It's your home opener. It's going to be a pretty special day for you.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. And so is our team. Like, we talk about it. We're going to, you know, go into that game expecting to win, giving them the best fight possible. We, you know, we will go through our scouting reports and be as prepared. I believe it's their first game as well, so it'll be a good matchup.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I don't think polar bears have a natural predator, so it might be difficult to, what? Don't look at me like that. Anyway, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, their game will be right here on the Cave. Lacrosse, how would you describe it to someone that's never watched it or just learning about it for the first time?
Yeah, so I like to describe lacrosse, especially on the women's side, as basketball. If you are familiar with basketball, you can be familiar with lacrosse. So we have an 8-meter and a 12-meter arc. The 8-meter arc is like the key in basketball. So you have to move to find lanes to get to net, like you would move to find lanes to get to score in basketball. You're creating space, timing, you're using your teammates' screens. All of that applies on the lacrosse side. You just have a stick and you're playing on a field.
Is there any limitations to where the players can go? Because I think I've seen that where defenders can't go past midfield. Or
yes.
Is that, what are those kind of rules?
Yeah,
like?
So we have a restraining line, which I guess you would also go on the same side as soccer of offsides. So we have to have 4 players back. There's 11 field players and a goalie. So that means there's 7 for 7 on the offensive and defensive end. Unless there's cards, which then a player, you may play player up or player down.
So cards like soccer.
Yes.
Is it like in hockey where it's like you're in the penalty box for a couple minutes, or do you play the rest of the game down
yeah.
a player?
No, so you could. So everyone has up to 2. Once you get your 2nd yellow card, you are out. There's also new this year, green cards. And green cards are releasable. So they're 1-minute releasable cards. Same with yellow. And then there's also a red card, which is the most severe, which you're out for the remainder of the current game and the next game.
Pretty steep.
Yes.
So a foul in lacrosse is what? You hit someone in the head with your stick, or you hit them low, or
right, so
knock them over?
Yeah, it's definitely different than the men's side because we don't have all the gear on or the equipment. So you can't check towards the head, towards the body. You can't push from behind. It all has to be there. But you can, if it's controlled, you can check fast and away from the body. You can body up as long as you're staying, pushing them up and out. You just have to try to find that balance of not crossing over.
Right. Any other real intricacies of the sport that I'm going to need to know for Wednesday? How much film do I need to watch to learn the basics of lacrosse? And maybe that's what can keep someone away from a sport is if it's too complicated. Is it that complicated, Coach?
I do not think it is. It can seem overwhelming if you're watching it for the first time, but like I said, if you are used to it and you watch it, you can grow to love it. It's a fast-paced game, high scoring, and like I said, especially if you know basketball, you see the movements.
Okay. The other See, you're going to be impressed with my knowledge on this. Okay. You can play behind the goal.
Yes, you can.
That's different than basketball.
It is. It's
you
nice.
You can't play
out
of bounds in basketball. You do. Is
yeah.
it most of a football field? What's the dimension?
Yes. So it's a little less than soccer, but more than football. Yeah. So you have, okay. you have like the end zone, so you have an extra 10 because you have the 10 behind the zeros.
Okay.
So 110 yards, yeah, it's a lot, but it's good. It's good space, lots of movement.
Right, with 11 per side,
yes.
there's really not as much room as you think.
Right.
Right? talking with Amanda Asher, the new head coach of the Adrian College women's lacrosse team. Team last year, 5-10, didn't make the conference tournament. Also, some bulletin board material projected to finish at the bottom of the MIAA. A good league, and it's time to prove people wrong, right?
It's time, yeah, and this group wants to. It's been tough. They haven't won, you know, we haven't won a conference game in a couple of years, but we want to change that, you know. We want to reach higher. That's the goal, to take a step up. And what's nice is everyone's hungry for it. So we're going to put our best effort, and I think we have some good chances.
Yeah, what's the – I mean, you got to get – it's hard to create a culture of winning if you're not winning. Winning helps that a lot. But you're in a spot where you kind of try to build that culture first, and then hopefully the winning follows. Is that kind of your approach?
Well, it's a process, and I know my team, they understand, and I've done it before. I tell them, I said, you know, I've been at the bottom of the conference, but we, you know, we worked at it, and then I was the very top. So it can happen. And I know everyone says trust the process. It's like a huge gray area. What does that mean?
Right.
It means we just get better every day. We show up and we work and we keep improving. And you see it game by game. And it's like the little moments, but they end up becoming big moments. But it does. It takes time.
Yeah, it's on the field and off.
Yes.
Too, right?
Absolutely.
Well, best of luck. I'll be up in the booth pointing at stuff, yelling about it. On Wednesday, 7 o'clock, people should stop on out at Docking Family Stadium. The Bulldogs are taking on Ohio Northern. It'll actually be a doubleheader. So the men first and then your team to follow. I've been talking with the women's head lacrosse coach at Adrian College, Amanda Asher. Coach, welcome to the Bulldog family, and good luck this season.
Thank you so much. Go Dogs.
Love it. And that's going to do it for the women's side of the sport. We're going to talk about the men's side. Brett Wetzel is waiting in the wings. He is just about ready to go with his Bulldogs, his sixth season at the helm. We'll talk some men's lacrosse right after this. This is the ACL Access Show live from Frickers in Adrian. I'm Ian Wendt for 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's wrestling. They're all showing off their skills this weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
To the ACL Access Show. We are on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. Ian Wendt with you. I've been talking equestrian and lacrosse. I'm learning a lot about these sports as the calendar turns from winter sports to spring sports. We're going to talk some men's lacrosse. I have the head coach with me going into his sixth season at the helm, Brett Wetzel. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Ian, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. I'm excited to learn. This is a big learning day for me. I feel like final exams are coming up.
Yeah.
With lacrosse, and talking with Coach Asher, the men's and women's game differ slightly, and I think the main word might be contact. A little more contact in the men's game?
Yeah, a little more contact, especially at this level, the Division III level. But, you know, they have one more player than we do. The numbers are a little different in terms of that, so not like, you know, men's to women's basketball where it's very comparable and same number of people on the floor at a time. So A little different, but, you know, at some of the higher levels, a little more contact on the women's side. They play this a faster pace, so that level's really exciting. So,
all right, throw me through a loop early.
Yeah.
You have one less player on the field than the women?
Yeah, yeah. So we've got 10 to start the game on the field, and they've got 11.
Okay. Confusing me right off the bat.
Add it to the list, right?
Add it to my list for the pop quiz at the end of the show. So last year for your team, you earned the 3C, actually the last 2 years.
Yep.
And you're projected to be in that same spot again this year, yeah, according to the preseason poll, whatever that is.
Yep.
What's going to help your team break through and get into those top two spots? I mean, it's good to be looking up at only two teams and looking down at the others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a very competitive league. That's definitely something that I think the MIAA is priding themselves on right now. It's a very competitive league. You know, the top two teams have been up there now since 2015. It's been pretty similar with Albion and Hope, back and forth. And, you know, we feel very much like it's time for a team to break that top two. When we first started and the MIAA first started up, Adrian, you know, we won 5 straight conference titles from 2010 to 2014, and we were one of the top teams in the region, and we feel like we can definitely get back there. We brought in a pretty great group a couple years ago, the juniors. I think when we talk about what's going to take the next step I think the next step right now is those juniors taking that next step on the field with some of their performance, right, scoring goals and the stats, but also their leadership and their mentorship and taking some more ownership of the program, I think is going to be kind of what helps us take that next step when it comes to conference play in April.
Just to, like, be an extension of you on the field and off the field, right? As, you know, you are the coach, right? And,
yep,
and what you say goes, but if you can get your upperclassmen in a position to get your message and relay it, that just, it makes it easier. You can focus on different things.
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely want them to be a bit of the captains and the leaders to be a bit of a arm of the coaching staff per se, but also, you know, it's a really great group, like I said, with high IQ. They know the game. They know what we need to do. They know what it's going to take. They know what we need to do. And I think, you know, as they get a little more comfortable in some of those leadership roles, I think that's sky's the limit for this group. I really do believe that.
When I was talking with Coach Asher for the women, she talked about recruiting and where you try to hit. This is not – it's growing in the Midwest, but I think it's more on the coast, right, mainly on the East Coast. And I don't know if California might do some, where's your focus for when you go recruit kids?
I mean, we definitely want to focus in Michigan. That's definitely the number one goal, is to get some Michigan guys down here from both. You know, the Grand Rapids area, the west side, is really strong. And then obviously the Detroit suburbs, some very strong lacrosse up there. So we want to hit those markets. But then, you know, also, you know, we brought in a really great freshman this year from Tecumseh. And, you know, we want to hit up some of the local schools as well. You know, Bedford's got some solid players every year. And we try to do that. And then, you know, reaching out now that we are seeing some more success on the field, it's become a little easier to reach out. We've got some guys from Colorado on the roster, some guys from Canada. We've got an Ohio commit coming in next year that we're excited about. So, you know, there's the ability to kind of spread your wings a little bit, which I think is important for us as a program and important for the college as well to be bringing in kids from out of state too.
Yeah, you mentioned a young man from Tecumseh on the roster.
Yeah.
I'm a Bulldog. I'm very on board with Adrian College, but that school on the other side of town, Siena Heights, I just feel like it's important to clean up your backyard.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a college athlete, they should go to one of these two schools. And Adrian's different than Siena, but, you know, I feel like that's important, and it sounds like you do too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the last few years, certainly Siena Heights has taken a lot of Tecumseh guys, and, you know, we've been kind of waiting for that right moment to swoop in. And I mean, I'll drop his name right now, Trace Tidswell. He's a freshman for us this year. He's going to be a name that is going to be called a lot over the next 4 years here at Adrian College. Like, we're super excited about what he's going to be able to do for us. And it's nice to, you know, we have his brother on the team as a senior this year. It's nice to have like some of that local blood, like you're saying, coming through the program.
Yeah, and it helps with, I mean, it's minor, but having fans in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the more local kids you bring in, the more fans you're going to get. Mom and dad aren't traveling from Colorado every week to come watch your son
exactly.
play.
We've got, you know, him, and, you know, he's got a lot of buddies coming out to games and stuff, so it's exciting for sure.
Talking with Coach Brett Wetzel with the Adrian College men's lacrosse team, looking at my note sheet, you started the year with a scrimmage against Lourdes. That's a Wolverine-Hoosier Athletic Conference opponent. They battle with the Saints, and I don't know if you have Sienna on the schedule or not this year, but
we do.
Came away with the win,
yep.
So you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, came away with the win. I mean, I think they're in a weird position. They've got a new coach down there, so they're kind of feeling their way through things, some short numbers. But, you know, really the emphasis and the focus was on us, right? And seeing, you know, we've got some new offensive weapons we're trying to institute, trying some new offensive sets, some new defensive things, brought in a new assistant coach who's working with the offense now. So we're kind of working through those things, and it gave us a chance to really – get everybody up to game speed and everybody, you know, working on the same page. And it went well, like you said, Mr. Prang giving you all the secrets there, but it did go well. And that's something we're looking to, you know, continue that momentum going into next Wednesday.
Well, if I need sports information, unfortunately, you know, he's the only one.
He's the guy.
To. Yeah, he's the guy. You know, with I want to go in the not so far back machine. But this is your sixth season at Adrian. Could you talk about what got you to this place now 6 years ago, your playing and your coaching experience?
Yeah, sure. So you talk about where the cross is big, New York. I mean, I'm a New York guy, so grew up in central New York. Went to school up at SUNY Potsdam, up in the SUNYAC. Competed against a very good competition there on a daily basis. And then, you know, when I was graduating, looking to find that next step for me. The first job that really kind of became available for me, it was over at Albion, actually. I know it's kind of a bad word here.
Well, we mentioned it last segment, so I guess,
can't
hide it.
The opportunity to work over there for Jake DeCola, who's still the head coach over there, and learn a little bit about you know, what the coaching world was like and the ranks were like was an experience that I certainly value, even though I'm not allowed to talk about it here.
You got your one time. That's it.
it was a great experience and helped them, you know, spent 5 years there, helped them win their first conference championship back in 2015, and then went down to Kenyon College down in Ohio. Down in the NCAC, playing against premier competition and some of the best teams across the country. Got a chance to learn from Doug Mazzardi, who I consider a great mentor to this day, and a guy I can talk to when I'm having some troubles and need some help with the program or any sort of issues or scouting help, whatever. He's been a great resource and a great mentor, and that experience down there really gave me a chance to see both sides of the coin. Very different, you know, recruiting at an Albion or an Adrian to a Kenyon. Different experience with admissions, different experience in terms of, you know, where you're recruiting and that kind of thing. So that was a great experience and kind of really helped prepare me for that next step, head coach at Adrian College here. And the opportunity to come back to the MIAA and, you know, Coach Mike Duffy was looking for the next man to fill the role and take the program back to the top, and he knew a little bit about me from my time over at Albion, so it really just kind of was, you know, very fortuitous at the time that it opened up. I was kind of looking, and Mr. Duffy was thinking I might be a good fit for the job, so he took a chance on me, and I'm forever grateful for that, and now we're doing some great things with the program, and it's really in a really exciting place.
Yeah, keeping things rolling with Craig.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He kept me on board.
Well, yeah, he did. He did. And third place finishes in the league help with that.
Makes
that decision a little bit easier. Talking with Brett Wetzel, the head coach of the men's lacrosse team at Adrian College. Your season starts at home, right? Or is that just the home opener?
Yep, home opener.
Season opener
on Wednesday. Season
4
opener,
o'clock.
Yep.
against the Polar Bears.
Yep.
Now, when I talked with Coach Asher, I don't think Polar Bears have a natural predator in the wild, so you have to find some different strategies to beat the Polar Bears.
Yep.
But that's, you know, I went down there for a football game a few years ago, mm-hmm. and they got some good things moving athletically over there, so a good test for your team to start the season.
It's going to be a great test. They kind of took it to us last year. It was a really a wet matchup. It was rainy, you know, the terrible weather in late February, like we expect next week,
right.
even. But, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. We in the first quarter, we lost our all-conference goaltender, went to dive on a chase for a shot and dislocated his shoulder. So we ended up losing him for the rest of that game and kind of threw some things in flux, but and I think we weren't quite ready for that moment in the time.
Well, it's kind of a shock.
Yeah, right.
In-game,
you lose a key player like that. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we had a senior able to step up in cage and played pretty well, but I think they're just all aspects. It was just a shock to the system, especially being a young roster like we were. And it was tough. I think it was, you know, 14-7, 14-8, somewhere around there. But they kind of took it to us, especially late in the game. And, again, I think it's a good program, well-coached by Coach St. Laurent, who's also a coach in the pros, which is kind of an interesting dynamic for him. Mm-hmm. But well-coached team, lots of talent returning as well as we've been preparing for them. I know they've got a lot of guys coming back that we saw last year, so should be a fun matchup. And again, these are fun where we get to, you know, see us go against the same opponents and the same matchups and that kind of thing. It's fun to see the kind of how we grow and the maturity from there. So this one will be a fun one on Wednesday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Tuning up for MIAA play, see if we can crack that top two. Maybe grab a regular season championship. I'm sure that's one of your goals for the year. And
that's the goal. That's what we're talking about as a team right now is getting that first trip back to play in a MIAA championship game, get that experience. I think that's our first step.
All right, people out in the community, it's a doubleheader, men's and women's across. The men will start at 4 at Docking Family Stadium, the women at around 7, same place. Same opponent, the Polar Bears, in town. If you can't make it, I'm going to do the game on the radio.
Oh, nice. So, all right. Yeah, we got some radio coverage. I like it.
Yeah, got
nice.
Some radio coverage. So you'll see me up there in the booth pointing at stuff or looking confused, trying to figure everything out. Coach, thank you for the time. And maybe we'll talk down the road on the show. And best of luck on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll listen back to the game, and we can have a chat about it afterwards. How's
some
that?
Film study.
Yeah, how's
right.
that sound?
It sounds good.
Awesome, awesome.
Once again, that's Brett Wetzel, the head coach of the men's lacrosse team at Adrian College. They start their season next Wednesday, a 4 p.m. start against Ohio Northern here at Adrian. 4 o'clock start, the women at 7. We're going to be back. We're going to get Mike Prang on the air again. He was on last night helping me out with some ACHA men's ice hockey broadcasting. He's a microphone hog. We're going to talk with Mike Prang, the SID at Adrian College, right after these messages from Adrian College and Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's wrestling. They're all showing off their skills this weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the ACL Access Show live from Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. If you're driving by, you see the Cave sandwich board out on the boulevard, so to speak. Ian Wendt, that's me, here with you hosting the show. Yeah, you thought you had some time between me and Mike Prang being on the air together. Nope. We were on the call last night for some ACHA men's hockey as the D1 team took down Toledo 9-2 to start their postseason play. And now we're going to focus a little bit on the NCAA hockey. Those games, their conference quarterfinals, we're not going to carry on the Cave. We're going to cross our fingers and get both of them on for the semifinal round next weekend. So praying a good time to talk about the ladies and the men as they're both top five in the country looking to get their postseason shoes wet, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. Both of them with the number one seed and going up against the eighth seed. Men have Concordia, Wisconsin this weekend, and then the women have Lawrence University this weekend. So two series that we should not have a problem with, but you still got to play the two games and win the two games. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know how involved you are with the league or if it's mostly Craig, the athletic director. In talking with people about NCAA hockey, the two-game quarterfinal gets people every time. They go, why do we have to play a two-game quarterfinal and then a one-game semi and a one-game final? Why don't they do a two-gamer elsewhere? And I say, well, you could have the Cinderella crazy upset in the first round, and then if you're the top seed, you're going, I've been the best. I earned the one seed. I should get another chance. Or is it because the other matchups, you know, the 3-6, 4-5, those could be two tight weekend series.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the two-game quarterfinal definitely benefits the tougher teams, which or the higher seeds, I should say. It's not something that the lower seeds like because, like you said, they want that Cinderella upset. But if you're the conference, like, you want to put your best team into the NCAA tournament with the automatic bid. And with the NCHA, how successful they are, three teams ranked in the top 15 in the coaches poll. Adrian ranked number 3 in the pairwise, which is big for us. St. Norbert, I think, is like 13 or 14 in the pairwise, and Trine's in the 20s. So having that two-game quarterfinal benefits the higher seeds because, yeah, they could have that hiccup on a Friday night. So now they got to take care of business on Saturday, but then if they tie the series up, then you jump into that mini game to determine the winner. So it definitely benefits the better seeds there because then once you get to the semis, you're fighting the top 4 seeds. So that's why we're fine doing a one-game semi and a one-game championship because at least it's the better teams that are fighting for that, everything like that. So I like the two-game quarterfinal. I know a lot of the coaches do, especially the ones that are more successful, like Adam Krug, Tim Coughlin at St. Norbert, Bloomingburg over at Aurora, stuff like that. So,
yeah, and you know, I don't know Sean Skelly's feelings with the women's side.
But, yeah, the women are the same way too.
You know, if the thing last year when the men made their run to the national championship game, that quarterfinal series was when Sam Ruffin suffered that season-ending injury.
Yeah.
And we're going, it had to happen in this game, a quote-unquote meaningless kind of game. So if you're Adrian, I think, aside from putting pucks in the net and winning the games, health is like the number 1A thing for both of them. You want to be playing your best hockey and have all your pieces to make a postseason run.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, that's just sports. It's tough to say. Like, it did suck for Sam Ruffin. It did suck for the team. But Adrian has always just had that successful team where it is, okay, next man up. And I think that's when Alec Lovasek jumped in the starting lineup and was filling in some spots there. And he's been very good for the Bulldogs this year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's just kind of part of the game. And you know, it happens across the board. The game that really doesn't matter, the game where you should take care of business, you still got to throw a team out there to take care of business. And it just occasionally comes with injuries, which obviously isn't something you want, but it just happens.
Switching back a little bit to the women's side, the focus kind of for my broadcast when the Bulldogs played Trine, they got a 5-0 win. Una Bellin, the grad student from Norway, she's chasing Bulldog history with not only career points but career goals.
Mm-hmm.
Going to dig deep in your sports information director brain. How close is Una now to tying and breaking those records?
So she does hold the assist record. I believe she broke that one when we went to Dubuque. Yes, she we went to Dubuque, she broke
the career assist record.
So she holds that. She's number two in goals, which I think she's less than 10 behind, maybe around five. I don't know at the top of my head. And then she is three or four points shy of breaking the all-time points record. And then that also that all-time points record will break the NCHA record as well, because it was held by Kristen Lewicki, so the star from a few years ago.
Yep. I remember calling games with her on the ice. Not trying to date myself, but she's a 2017 grad, I think.
2017 or 18,
yeah,
something
so
like that.
You're younger than me.
Huh?
Yep. So, yeah, just going to sit and reflect on that one. I mean, just two great players, and Una's been outstanding. And
definitely.
Like early in her career, she was on, you know, lineups that had some seniority, and they were getting most of the points. And then as she, you know, became sophomore, junior, senior, she's done some incredible things with, mm-hmm. with the Bulldogs. So I think it's important to note that.
Yeah.
And just what we're witnessing. I know it's a fifth-year student, and however you want to feel about that, and whether you did it in 4 years or 5 years, whatever. I say it's a record. You have your eligibility, and go for it.
You still did it. So.
Yeah, you still did it. That's right. The NCHA, you mentioned the three teams on the men's side. Now for the women, Adrian's the only one ranked. I don't know. Norbert might be getting a vote.
Not anymore.
After
we swept them, they were not. So
okay, so it's really Adrian on that side. But the men, you look at St. Norbert and Trine, they did add a team to the NCAA tournament bracket just due to the addition of other programs nationally. You look at a St. Norbert and a Trine and an Aurora to some extent. They're not a lock to get an at-large bid. Adrian is the closest thing to having a lock for an at-large bid. So those two teams, they're gunning for that automatic berth into the NCAAs.
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, the pairwise is such a big thing. And for those people that don't know much about the pairwise, it's more of a computer ranking, takes what you do against stronger opponents, strength of schedule, and then it also eliminates kind of win you growing as much by defeating weaker opponents, which depending on who we play in the NCHA, you know, it beating Dubuque doesn't do much for us, but defeating on the men's side Trine and St. Norbert and Aurora, like, that does more than beating a Lawrence or a Lake Forest or a Dubuque. So
right.
And it's the same thing with the women, but yeah, with the men ranked number three, and because there are teams that are ranked lower in the pairwise, but they do get the automatic bid from their conference tournament. So you may have the 24th ranked team in the pairwise making the 13-team tournament, and the team that's ranked 10th in the pairwise doesn't make it because they didn't get one of the three at-large bids, or three or four at-large bids, however many it is.
Yeah, there's just so few opportunities to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exclusive in that you get your conference champions and then three or four at-large bids.
Yeah.
So if you're Adrian, obviously if you win the Harris Cup and if you win the Slots Cup, you're in. But, you know, you don't want to trip up and leave it into the hands of some computer ranking because you don't know where the other upsets might be.
Definitely. When you keep winning, like, you're not falling in these pairwise. So if the men win the Harris Cup, we should be one of the three teams that gets a first-round bye and hosts a quarterfinals. Drastic things would need to happen if we were to still win the conference tournament and not get a quarterfinal at home. The women, with them being fifth in the pairwise, I think there's four that get a bye to the quarters, and that may be coming down to travel and everything, because the NCAA has a rule where team flies if they put you at a location that's over 500 miles away from each other. So, you have to fly. You don't have to fly, but the NCAA offers a flight if you're over 500 miles. So, when it comes to hockey, like, Adrian's in that weird location where we are part of the West region in hockey, but we're the furthest East team in the West region.
Right.
So, we could face an East region team in the quarterfinals rather than a West region team right away.
That's why we've played Elmira.
That's why we played Elmira so many times. That's why the women played Hamilton last year. The men a couple years ago played Hobart in the first round from New York. But last year the men had Stevens Point out in the West, but the women had Hamilton out in the East. So it's kind of that weird thing where if you're close enough to the four spot in the pairwise or the three spot in the pairwise, they might, you know, let you jump somebody who's supposed to host just based on regional things. There's on the USCHO website, there's a huge fan forum of some people that actually know really what they're talking about when it comes to this stuff, that a lot of people have projected Gustavus Adolphus in Minnesota is four right now, and the women are five for Adrian. So a lot of people have projected Gustavus Adolphus might have a first-round game, and Adrian has a bite at the quarterfinals just based on traveling and regional stuff. So it's obviously all up in the air. It's just people talking.
Exactly.
They tend to know quite a bit, but at the end of the day, it's whatever the NCAA decides on selection show night.
Right. So the here and now, Friday doubleheader, Saturday doubleheader, NCAA, NCHA playoffs, quarterfinals. Can you run down the schedule for that?
Yeah, so one thing to note is the men have the early games this year. So Friday, 3 o'clock, the men will play Concordia, Wisconsin in Game 1. The women will play Lawrence Friday at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, the men will play Game 2 against Concordia at 1 p.m. with the women following at 5 p.m. So that's one thing to note. And then next weekend, we'll do the same thing. The men will be first in the afternoon. The women will be at night, assuming we're hosting the semis.
And those are Saturday games,
the semis and finals will both be Saturday games. Tickets are on sale to the public for this weekend, and then they'll probably go on sale for the semifinals on Monday. So just kind of keep an eye on AdrianBulldogs.com for that.
That's what I was going to say, AdrianBulldogs.com. We still have the Adrian College app. You can download and get all your information. Mike Prang, the SAD at Adrian College, thanks again for getting on the mic.
No problem.
And maybe I'll get you on tonight.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. To be determined. And that is going to do it for us here on the ACL Access Show. I'll be back on the Cave tonight, 7:30, Women's Division I ACHA squad taking on U of M Dearborn, 7:30 puck drop right here on the Cave. I'd like to thank Frickers for being a great host. Craig Granny, the athletic director at Adrian College. Of course, the student athletes that we talk to every week on the show. And this week, the equestrian, Madison Austin. I'd like to thank Amanda Asher, the head coach of the women's lacrosse team, and Brett Wetzel, the head coach of the men's team for lacrosse at Adrian College. For John Kane back in the studio, I'm Ian Wentz saying goodbye. Have yourself a great Thursday. I'll be back tonight at 7:30. You're listening to the ACL Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.